CEO of Interscan. So together with my colleague, Richuan, the topic of our presentation today will be the state of Ethereum. So we last presented at DEFCON 3, Cancun, 2017. So fast forward to 2019, today we look at how the network has evolved and grown since then by first looking at the overall on-chain blockchain statistics. And while it goes without saying, right, building technical infrastructure is challenging, there are also unique non-technical issues and challenges building infrastructure services in India. So through user feedback, we compiled a list of common end-user pain points which we will share with you. Yeah, so as builders, right, so to build better dApps or apps, it's also important to understand the user base that you're so using analytics data, we look at the changing user demographics of the Ethereum ecosystem, and we learn and discover what the Ethereum user persona looks like today versus that of the user. Alright, so to kick things off, I'll pass the speaker to me.
Thanks, Matthew. Hi, I'm Wei, and I'm a product manager in Interscan. In this section, I'm going to go through some of the on-chain statistics of the Ethereum network. Before we dive into the statistics, Ethereum has definitely come far in its vision and getting closer each year to bring blockchain to mainstream. We have witnessed a number of network upgrades from Frontier, Homestake, Byzantium, and the recent Constantinople activation. Every activation is important as it includes EIP that will help Ethereum the long term. This is a marathon and we're not in the sprint. Moving on to the total transactions chart, we can observe a total number of 552 million transactions that has been processed so far on the network. The dramatic increase from year 2016 to 2018 can be concluded from projects raising ICOs, or otherwise known as token sales. With the popularity of NFT and decentralized exchanges in 2017, in addition to the all-time high price of 4 Ether, the volume of transactions has more than doubled up, pushing more transactions than ever. Fast forward to 2018, a number of stablecoins and node platforms have been launched, and this marked the beginning of DeFi. However, in 2019, the total number of transactions has slightly dropped compared to the same time of previous year. Partially, we think the reasons are due to price correction and launches of own mainnets for those projects that completed the ICOs. Next, we'll look at the address Ether balance distribution. There are over 76 million unique addresses, and after excluding the zero balance Ether addresses, the summaries are over 96% of addresses hold less than 1 Ether. 3.5% of addresses hold between 1 to 1,000 Ether. And what is interesting is that less than 0.03% of addresses with Ether balance of more than 1,000 Ether holds almost 81% of total Ether supply. Ethereum is known for the smart contract development and allows developers to write their own contracts and deploy onto the blockchain so they can run on its own without any central server. In total, there are over 18 million contracts created and deployed into the mainnet. Most of these are written in Solidity, a JavaScript-like language, and only a mere 0.004% contract sources are available. We do expect this number to increase with better tools and integration in the future. In addition, the two most popular contract types, which are ERC20 and ERC71, make up around 1.2% of the total contracts created so far. Miners play an essential role to secure the Ethereum network and in the process receive mining rewards. The top 5 miners are shown on the pie chart and collectively they have collected 59% of mining blocks. Ideally, every block should contain transactions, but sometimes there are still empty blocks, which means there are no transactions onto the block. For the current year, this number is around 2.26% of the total mining blocks. Looking at the gas utilization chart here, we can see Ethereum has adjusted its gas limit for around 8 times. The few notable increase points are when the launch of ICO in 2017, and later the launch of the very popular cryptocurrency system in late December, to say it. Just recently, at the end of last month, we see another increase due to the partially attributed to the ERC 20 level transactions. By comparing the average gas use in each block, the network utilization is reaching the all-time high of 96.5% of its network capacity. Anyone can just download an Ethereum node today, Ethereum client write an Ethereum node on their computer. How big the storage is provided so today? By comparing the blockchain size growth in 2019 for both GET and Hyper nodes, we can see that GET is growing at a higher rate and is estimated with a wider margin by that year. Having said that, with the release of version 1.9 this July, the improvements have drastically reduced the blockchain data size for GET by 40%. This can be noted from the spike and drop in the chart. Now looking at nodes. Nodes play as important role as the data gateway points for applications to retrieve information from the blockchain. Looking at the total nodes that online as of August this year, US has a far commanding at 32.5%, China 12.3%, followed by Germany, Singapore, and France. These five countries account for over 60% of nodes distribution, and it's reflective of the developer user community that we are working on running. It's important to track the average nodes count as more nodes with more data capabilities to serve all the applications and keep the connectivity high at all times. On average, the nodes count is just under 7,000, and it looks like GET and Parity are still the most popular mining types out there. To sum up, how has the internet network evolved so far? Transactions has been growing monumentally since 2016, and it has continued to improve with each up network upgrade. The network utilization is at all-time high, which each block is almost full. With the ability for the miners to increase or decrease the gas limit globally, this facility has allowed the network to better deal with sudden spike of pending transactions and also withstand network spending. Able to run an Ethereum node with less storage requirements is better for anyone that wishes to run one. And we're seeing improvements to the client that that's great news for every user. And lastly, the importance of nodes as data gateway entry points not simply understood. We hope to see the increase of number of clients that comes online in the next 12 months. And these are the brief overview of the on-chain statistics, and I will now pass the mic back to Matthew.
No mic. All right. Thanks, V. Okay, so like figuring out a product to market this strategy is always difficult. It requires multiple reiterations, retries, attempts, and sometimes just a little bit of luck. So one way to approach this, of course, is to look at what are the existing end user pain points and to figure out if we can build solutions around the area. So at EtherScan, we receive thousands of ticket issues on a monthly basis, and we serve a diverse range of users. So what we've done here right now is we've gone back and looked for this user feedback and issues and compiled a list of common end user pain points which we have observed over time. All right, as a builder, do keep in mind, right, so some of these issues might really appear trivial, easy, simplistic, but these are actual real-world issues that the common end-user faces when interacting with Ethereum. So in no order of importance, the first issue is the request for refunds and to cancel transactions. So I know there is this perception like with traditional transactions, users just want to have the ability to cancel their transactions or have their transactions refunded when an error is made. And a lot of times, the reason this happens are like when users have problems identifying the correct address sent to. And of course, it doesn't really help, right, that the token naming schemes can be pretty confusing at times, you know? We have like TUSD versus USDT. Hot holo token versus hot hydrocode floor, so very similar naming schemes. And the other issue that we always get has to do with the transaction info or the address balance not immediately updated and redacted. So often there is a lag time, perhaps between the UI after confirmation time is completed, and this normally occurs at exchanges and in my wallet. So the user just gets answers, expects the balance to be updated immediately, and when it's not, they tend to get panicky. The next question that we get is like, what do you do when a transaction fails? So, for instance, out of gas, reverted, or some other error codes. So it's basically just users asking about why their transaction has failed and what are the next steps they need to take to fix this. Yeah, and lastly, how do you convert tokens to cash, deposit them to bank accounts? So essentially, users just wanting cash out and not knowing how to do so safely. Alright, so as a builder, what can we do? So we have a couple of thoughts here. So I think it would definitely help to provide additional information on what to do next when an error occurs within your app or dApp. Or better still, like, why did the error occur in the first place and what are the steps that they can take in order to prevent it from happening? And a lot of confusion with sending to the wrong addresses could be avoided by using human readable addressing schemes like ENS, Ethereum Name Service. And when it comes to security, always assume that everything can be hacked or exploited. It's not a matter of if, but when. And when that happens, what are the next steps to take to mitigate the situation? And as simple as it sounds like, the cash off ramp is a huge market. Users just want to be able to cash in, cash out quickly and safely. And here's an idea for a DApp on app: refundable transactions. Can this be done? So I know this kind of definitely goes against the immutable nature of the blockchain, but it's definitely ongoing and user required. So alright, for the final section of this presentation, I would like to talk about the Ethereum user persona. So one of the things that we found extremely useful as builders when building an application is to first understand who your target audience is. So what I would like to do is using ShareVideo analytics data derived over the last few years and kind of work towards building a model of what the typical Ethereum user looks like today. Okay, so by looking at our site statistics, one of the first few interesting things that we found over the last 3 years was actually a shift in user geolocations. So it was back in 2016, the US made up 45% of the user demographic. In 2017, we noted an increase of users coming from China, and this trend continued into 2018, where the number of users in China was in parity with that in the US. So fast forward to 2019, this is what the top 5 user geolocations look like, with China forming the largest majority of users, followed by the US, Germany, Ukraine, and South Korea. So the takeaway here is that understanding where your users are located can be extremely helpful, like when optimizing the location of your servers, figuring out like which languages to support, or deciding where to allocate resources for user growth and adoption. So this is on a slightly related topic, right? So from what we understand, right, so one of the criteria for deciding a DevMon location was to encourage adoption in specific regions of computing. So what we did here is that we actually mapped out the previous DevMon locations and compare them with the following year user location demographics. Right? So from our casual observation, not really scientific, we found that in the past 4 years that there was indeed an increase in the percentage of users from locations where the DevCon event was held previously. Yeah, so I think it's definitely going to be super interesting, right, to see if this casual observation slash theory holds true the next year after DevCon 5, and whether or not we actually see an increase of adoption of users in Japan. Alright, so moving on. As for the languages used, we look at the user browser and language settings. And from this, we actually find that most of the users have their settings in English, followed by Chinese and Russian. So, I mean, if you're planning to build or support a multilingual app, having it both in Chinese and Russian, in addition to English, means that you pretty much cover about 70% of the user demographics. So as for the age demographics, our data is fairly consistent over the last few years of what one might expect in the crypto scene, with close to half of the users in the age bracket of 25 to 34 years. However, while the age bracket remained relatively similar over the last few years, it definitely saw an increase of in the proportion of female users. So back in 2017, only 8% of the users were female. Fast forward to 2019, you see this number double up, close to 16% of the user demographics. So, affinity and in-market user demographics are essentially segmentation by user interest and marketing categories. So looking at the affinity in-market analytics, we see this coming from user categories of value shoppers and technologies, and those interested in financial and investment services. So compared with the previous years, we did notice that there was a slight shift in the affinity category, that there's now more value shoppers than technologies compared to previous years. So for general user interface analysis, we look at two data points, which is the user browser and screen resolutions. And from here, we see that the majority of users use the Chrome browser, followed by Android Web View and Safari. As for screen resolutions, the 1920 and 1080 is popular when using a desktop interface. And on mobile devices, the 360 and 640 is popular. So the biggest shift we've seen here again is the increase in Android Web View, which is only 6% in 2017, but double up to 40% in 2019. Okay, so for device category, we see more and more users interacting through mobile phones. While the majority still uses a desktop interface, we expect the number of users using mobile devices to make up more than half of the users over the next 12 months. So as for user operating systems, so the majority users use Windows, followed by Android, iOS, and Macintosh. Notable change here is that while the proportion of iOS and Mac users remain relatively similar the last few years, it does kind of appear that more and more Windows users are interacting using Android phones today. Alright, so further diving to the mobile device breakdown. As a single device type, the Apple iPhone still commands the largest market share, followed by Samsung and Huawei. What is kind of interesting here though is that Huawei, Xiaomi, Oppo weren't really in the top 5 list a couple or 2 years ago, but they are today. And as for the mobile operating systems, it pretty much follows the device breakdown, with Android capturing the largest market share, followed by iOS. Okay, so by looking at all the previous analytics data, I derived 2019 Ethereum user personas most likely male from ages 25 to 34, are located in China, US, Germany, Ukraine, South Korea, a tech-oriented value shopper of interest in financial services, use a Windows-based PC and Chrome as a primary browser, and all likelihood users an Apple iPhone, Samsung, or Huawei as mobile devices. Alright, so summing up. So how has the user persona evolved over the last 2 years compared to today? So firstly, we definitely see an increase in mobile penetration. I think this doesn't really seem like a surprise because in 2017 it was largely desktop wallet interfaces. But fast forward to 2019, we have an extremely rich ecosystem of mobile wallets. As for the shifting geolocation demographics, as we predicted back in 2017, China was a growing market. Today, the number of users coming from China is proportionally larger than any single country. Also happy to see increased gender diversity participation. We doubled the proportion of female users in 2019 versus 2017. As for the user interest groups, they remain relatively static, but we did note the increase to the value shoppers from technologies. So alright, so all in all, while there's still a long way more to go for mass adoption, it just kind of appear we're making baby steps towards more mainstream use. Alright, that wraps up our presentation. Thank you for your time.